show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sitting here in first place and getting such great production from a lot of people all over the roster, from the bullpen to some of the guys in the rotation to the position players. It's been a fun team to watch. They're really exciting, and I know our fan base is energized by it.
There you go. Brian Cashman, general manager of the New York Yankees, talking about the Bombers. The Bombers. The Bronx Bombers, who will host the Red Sox for three games in New York this week. And before I get to our guests here, Jared Carabas and Jim Murray, and Jimmy Stewart, our producer for that matter, because I have a question for the three of them. For these three meatheads. I remind you, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. You can check them out at jacksonlumber.com. If you've never been there, believe me when I tell you, you got to go to this place. They've helped me with a handful of projects over the years, a bunch of projects, really. And a tremendous place. So thanks to our friends at jacksonlumber.com. Let's open up the phone line, 617-779-0985. Jared Carabas of Barstool is alongside, as he is every Tuesday. Red Sox were off last night. They split a four-game series with the Orioles over the weekend. They're now 3-0-1 in their last four series. They are 10-4 in their last 14 games. And now they go into New York for a three-game series against the Yankees, who are in first place. They're two games back. So let me ask you guys a very simple question to start. Okay, and this applies to the fan base, too. Is the series important? Does it mean anything? Okay, let's start with Jared Carabas. Go, Jared.
Yes, it is important because this, I'm not going to look at the Yankees as the measuring stick, but they're the team that's standing in your way currently of being in first place, which is where everyone sort of predicted that the Red Sox would be to start the year. So, time to live up to the hype.
Murray?
Important in the fact that they were beat up in the two games that they faced them prior back in April, but I'm not going to be devastated if they ended up, you know, only taking one of these games or even got swept because I think I've seen enough here in these last couple of weeks that they are going to be good enough to win this division or get in as a wild card team.
Jimmy Stewart.
Yes, absolutely. Keep the Red Sox series winning streak of momentum going. That's why it's important. You gotta get to the Yankees, who are in first place ahead of you.
Okay, so I do think it's an important series. And again, not from the standpoint of the long term. Right? Look for, in the long term, we all know there's about 100-some-odd games left. I mean, clearly there's plenty of time, but the Red Sox have started to play better of late. And look, the first couple of games in Baltimore, a little frustrating, particularly the first one with Eduardo Rodriguez. The second one was obviously tighter, but they lost. Price bounced back. They get out of there with a split. 10-4 in the last 14, as I said, and they have not lost the series now in 2 weeks. So now you're going into New York, and honestly, you get your ass kicked the last time you played them, even though the scoreboard didn't necessarily show it that way. 3-0 and 3-1 were the two games, but you really didn't hit in either one. Now you're going in there, and the Yankees have played well all year. And I'm not trying to drum up the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry or any of that, although we'll get to that later in the show. There are some elements here to suggest that, you know what, Boston and New York could be both vying for a division title in the coming years, maybe even this one. So I don't know if that's a rivalry, but when both teams are good, it's better. It's better for everybody. I'm sure you agree, Jared.
Yeah, of course.
But you're playing well to go in there and lose, I think would be a bad sign. I'm waiting for this team to turn a corner and go on a run. And I feel like they've turned a little bit of a corner. And let me give you another element to this series that I don't think is small, and that's David Price, who will pitch the finale on Thursday night. Price looked great in the last game. Now you're going into New York. One way or another, you're going to need that game. It's either going to be 1-1, you're either going to be looking for a sweep, or you're looking to avoid a sweep. Okay, so the guy that always goes in that last one, particularly in a series of any consequence, it's kind of a big spot. And so I'm eager to see, what do we get from Price there? I just think when you really weigh this out, I don't know, there's value. I think it's a checkpoint series. Like, I think there were certain points, Jared, along the way, in any season, where you're going to get a series that will give you a status update, a checkpoint, as I like to say, where you can look at the team and say, here's how they looked in that series, here's what they did, and you know this was encouraging or this was discouraging, and especially when the president of the team, Dave Dombrowski, continues to say that he doesn't want to make any sort of evaluation yet because he still thinks he needs time. Will this series to me, for the first third of the season, feels a little bit like a final exam. Like, if you go into New York and win the two out of the three, then I come out of there saying, here we go. Fine. Price is back. Now you're hitting some sort of rhythm. You're scoring some runs. Now you just get Sale going again, and you'll be all right. But what if the opposite happens?
Well, with David Price, I think that the expectations, again, need to be tailored to the situation. Because, you know, to your point about it being a big series, yes, I do think that it is a big series. But this is what, David Price's fifth start of the year, regular season and rehab stints, spring training combined. So, and he also didn't pitch well against the Yankees last year either when he was healthy. So, you know, those are all factors here. But, I mean, if you look at the pitching matchups, Tanaka's been awful this year. And I know that Drew Pomeranz has only been good for two starts, his two most recent starts. But I feel like that's a game that you have to win. Rick Porcello, Sabathia. So the thing about Sabathia this year is they've been winning the games that he's been pitching, but he hasn't pitched well. He keeps them in the games. His ERA is like 4.5.
4.21.
Yeah.
He's been okay, though.
Yeah, I know. He keeps them in games. But, you know, I think they're like 8-2 or 9-2 or something like that in games that he's pitched. So they win when he's on the mound. So I think that'll be a big game. And then you go into the series finale there with Pineda, who's been their second-best starter behind Severino. So, yeah, that's another big start for David Price.
So I just look at it and say, you know, if CC Sabathia is along with 4 runs per 9 innings, the Yankees will win. They have an offense that can cover that. And so that's a win for them if Sabathia is in that, you know, fourth starter kind of range. Here's the other question I have for everybody involved. Well, I'll tell you what, actually. I'll ask another question concerning the Red Sox and the Yankees to Jared when we come back, and to you, because we want to get your assessment. What do you think? Do you think it's a big series? And again, that in the context of June, is it a big June series as much as a June series could be a big series? What do you think? Because I do. I'm eager to see how the Red Sox look the next three nights. Again, checkpoint. Checkpoint.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What we saw last year in the second half, we were competing and we were able to match up and battle with anybody on any series and, you know, fight till, if I recall correctly, about the last week of the season before we were eliminated from postseason. So that gives us great hope because a lot of these younger players that we haven't even reached their ceilings yet. There's a lot more upside. But at the same time, I think it goes both ways. I mean, we're going to have growing pains, but we also have a roster that has such ceiling. If everything goes right and we stay healthy, yeah, we're going to be a contending team. That's our intention.
That was Brian Cashman over the winter. Over the winter, he said that. The goal is to be a contending team and let the young players on the team continue to grow. And so here the Yankees are. They've been better than that. They're in first place. Now, again, I said this. This sounds like an I told you so, Jared, right? If you were listening to me, you'd have known this. Mm. But I said, I don't know, Murray will tell you, a month ago, I thought the Yankees were for real. I said, this Yankees team's not going away.
I was with you.
Yeah, they're legit. That's right. You wrote the same thing, in fact.
Yeah.
It's all about me, Jared.
It is.
So I looked at it at the time, and I said, they're going to be a factor. That's a winning team down there. And when I say winning team, I mean a team that is not going to go 75-87. Okay? That's just not going to happen. There's too much talent there, and you could see it at the end of last season. They were buying in. They were competing. There's a good nucleus there. And so I don't know whether the starting pitching with the Yankees will hold up, but the closer they get to the deadline, the more impetus is going to be for Cashman to make a deal, and the Yankees will be potentially in the race. And then, you know, who knows what? We all know it's different in the second half than the first. Which leads me to another question about the Yankees. Okay, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's take a couple of calls first with Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports. Tony is in the car. Tony, what do you got?
Hey, yeah, I think what we like to call some of these early season is like rah-rah wins. And I think it's good for a ball club to get ahead of the curve. And if we're going to measure up to the Yankees, I think it's good for us to get to, you know, 2 out of 3 would be nice. Seeing Price pitch a solid game against the Yankees would be solid. And knocking Sabathia off his perch, I think, is pretty important for us, too. He shouldn't be winning these games, and I think us shutting him up would be real nice.
Yeah, so, Tony, I'll tell you what. I don't like the term rah-rah wins. Like what? We're just going to wait and see what happens. And, yay, good for team spirit. Do you buy into that?
No. I mean, I think that both of these teams probably think that they're for real at this point. So I don't like to use the word measuring stick with the Yankees because...
It implies they're better than you.
Yes, and they're not. They're not. They shouldn't be on paper. But like you mentioned with some guys in the rotation there, Pineda, he's basically on pace to have his best season ever. You know, this is a guy that usually is up there in strikeouts, but his ERA is never really that impressive. But he's having a pretty good year ERA-wise and strikeout-wise. And Severino, thanks a lot, Pedro, you know, for giving him some pitching lessons. And now he's been the de facto ace because Tanaka's been garbage. But yeah, and we talked about this earlier about how we didn't really expect the starting pitching to kind of hold up there. But they have, because they've had other guys step up in place of Tanaka, who has pretty much been a dumpster fire for the whole year.
Okay, let's squeeze in one more call, and then again, I want to ask you a bigger picture question as it pertains to the Red Sox and the Yankees. And let me just say, about that last call, this rah-rah nonsense, this is part of the problem with baseball, is the fans. Like, you just look at it like it's a foregone conclusion that the Red Sox are going to be in it in September, and that these games now don't mean anything. Trust me, this team isn't as good as it should have been. And so every game they can win now, they need to win. I hate that attitude when it comes to baseball. Just boil it down, okay? Boil it down. Treat every series as its own thing. You're going against New York the next 3 days. You got to take 2 out of 3 at a minimum. If they lose 2 out of 3 or get swept after going on the nice little run here that they've had of, you know, 4 series in a row without losing 1-3-0-1, and then overall 10 wins in 14 games, you go into New York and get swept, that's a kick in the nuts. Don't kid yourself. Brian's in the truck. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Maz. So I don't think this is a big series. I don't think big series exist in June. I think it's a big night for Pomeranz to pitch well and not get knocked out in the second. And I think it's a big night on Thursday for Price to not, again, get knocked out in the second and third inning, and both of them to pitch well. But I think you can, even if you lose, obviously if you get swept, worst case scenario, but if you lose 2 out of 3, you play good baseball and you continue to kind of, you know, play well, I think that proves that you're supposed to be at the top of this division like everyone thinks. And last week you were talking about that we were, you know, the measuring stick was a third of the season. You know, if you get to 30 or 31 wins, that's a 90 or 91 win pace. That's a better way to say, you know, that's what we're measuring up to, not that this is a big series here in the beginning of June. I think they're two different things.
Okay, see, except that they are two different things. One is a bigger picture, but the other thing is a smaller sample look at a team that you are competing with for the top of your division, at least right now, and we have nothing else to go on. And you say, well, okay, let's see. Let's see what it looks like. So there are 31 wins now. There are 29 at 54 games. Okay, that's an 87-win team. I don't think that's good enough for this Red Sox club. It'll get them in the playoffs. Congratulations. You can play that wild card play-in game and take your chances there with whoever's on the mound. And don't assume that it's going to be Sale. Because what if, like, he has to pitch on the final weekend of the season or something? You can assume whatever you want. I'm just telling you that they need to play well against a team that has played well. It's the next step.
Then you're eyeing that Houston series then.
I'm eyeing every series they play from here on out.
Well, I mean, who else is considered a measuring stick in the American League?
Okay, I even give them a little bit of points for Baltimore over the weekend, Jared.
They've been playing horrible.
Okay, I don't care. The Red Sox went in and lost the first two. Price came back in a spot, and again, in the spot, answered. I was happy to see that. That meant a lot to me over the weekend. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I sit here and kick the crap out of them a lot of the time because I don't think they're living up to potential. And then Price comes out on Saturday and pitches a pretty good game.
Yeah.
At a time when they needed it.
But you're better than Baltimore.
Yes.
So if there is a measuring stick out there, it has to be Houston. That's the only team that's better than you.
Well, right now the Yankees are better than the Red Sox are. What
yes.
if you go? But here's my point. What if you go in here and get your ass kicked?
That's not good.
Okay, so do you still come out of it saying the Red Sox are better than the Yankees?
I mean,
or are the Yankees now a problem?
No, we totally agree that the Yankees will be a factor. But, you know, you play them in a best-of-seven series. Who are you taking?
Ask me in 3 days.
Okay.
Ask me in 3 days. Let me see what this looks like.
Okay.
I'm not joking. I want to see what it looks like. I think people are totally underplaying and looking past the Yankees.
I'm not looking past them.
I don't mean you.
Yeah.
Because, again, I think we're on the same page. I think fans still aren't totally buying in. And I think you're idiots for not buying in.
Well, they're getting in. They're getting in the playoffs one way or another.
Okay, so let me ask you the next question. The next 5 to 10 years. You know, 10's too long. Mm-hmm. The next 5 years, who would you rather be? Boston or New York? Which organization would you rather be for the next 5 years?
I'd probably still take Boston.
Why?
Because you have 2 more years of Sale. You know, I like Mookie, Benintendi, Bogarts. I like that core right now. But like Judge, I think is, you know, a nice little answer to Mookie Betts. But I'm not really sold on Frazier yet. Some of these guys that they have, I think that they've overhyped some of their guys over there. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking 2019, that free agent class, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado might be headed over that way. But we don't know that. So I can't really bank on that actually being a concrete thing.
Just go on the players they have right now.
I take the Red Sox core over their core.
Murray, how about you? Next 5 years.
Next 5 years, no, I would rather be the Red Sox.
Okay, Murray, Jimmy Stewart, rather.
I'd rather be the Yankees.
Okay, as would I. Okay, so again, and this is one of those things that I look at and I say, Red Sox fans, are just you're not paying attention. Aaron Judge, 25 years old. Gary Sanchez, 24 years old. Starlin Castro, 27. Didi Gregorius, 27. Severino, 23. Jordan Montgomery, 24. If you want to get into under 30s, Betances is 29, I believe. Okay? Then coming, Gleyber Torres, who's the prospect they got for Chapman from the Cubs, who probably is going to be up before the end of the year at third base. There's already been stories coming out of New York that they're going to put him at third base because Chase Headley's been such a zero there. Clint Frazier, whom you brought up, Jared, he was acquired in the Andrew Miller deal with Cleveland, and they made a deal with Texas, too, for Carlos Beltran. So if you were to ask me the two-year period, I'll take the Red Sox. I'll take the Red Sox because of Sale. You know, Price, Pomeranz is still going to be around for another year after this one, at least. So I look at it and say, for the next couple of years, the Red Sox are in good shape. And honestly, they're a year ahead of the Yankees in the development. They are. But after that, do the Red Sox have a pitcher in the organization, 23 years old, like Severino?
No, but I Groom is there.
Okay, but he's like, what, 19?
Yeah, he's coming down the pipeline, but you'll probably see him in that five-year window.
Okay, but again, there's no track record of success for him at all. None.
And there's no track record of success for some of the players that you named.
Okay, but Severino's winning in the big leagues right now. Judge is hitting in the big leagues right now, as is Sanchez.
So is Mookie and Bogarts and Bradley and Chris Sale. They're all here right now.
Okay, except that the Yankees are going to be able to keep all these guys.
But just try to dumb it down. Just do me the favor and do this. Like, for looking at a five-year window, just position players, if you were to draft, just say right up the top, three, because we're going to go through eight. Who are you taking first?
Betts.
Jared?
Judge.
You take Judge first?
No. I thought we were going in, in the draft style.
All right.
Yeah, no.
So,
just three. One, two, three.
So the third one is Eileen Sanchez.
I would probably go Betts, Judge, and three would probably have to be...
And you're looking 5 years.
Any biceps.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably the number three, but it's tough to say right now based on how he's performed lately.
Okay,
but picture, it probably would be Benintendi.
Okay, Eileen Sanchez. Now, just in the interest of fairness, because I'm not a totally negative, manipulative, conniving dink like everyone thinks I am.
Yeah.
I spoke to a respected major league evaluator today. Okay. Respected, who said to me he'd go Betts, Bogarts, Judge. That he still puts Bogarts ahead of Judge. Okay, now I don't because of the power. I mean, Judge is hitting bombs.
He's hitting for average, too.
Betts the clear one. I mean, but it would be some permutation of that, I would think. Betts, Judge, Bogarts, or Benintendi.
Betts is the most complete player in the group. No question about it. But I do think that the Yankees might have two of the next three. And you know what? If you look at the prospect lists in the minor league system, the Yankees Yankees player development system right now ranks second by Baseball America. The Red Sox are 14th. Okay, 14th. So, again, I factor that into a five-year window. I'd rather be New York right now than Boston for the longer term. And I think Dombrowski's traded away too many prospects. In any case, I babbled on. Murray's Get Your Headlines. We'll continue with Carrabas next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox and Yankees tonight in New York. First trip to New York this year, oddly enough, right? Usually, you know, you get one right out of the gate in April, one in, you know, right around now. And then one in September, or, you know, you might get one in July instead of now. But let's call it the middle of the year, and then one in September. And, in fact, I think the last time the Red Sox play the Yankees this year in September is at the very, very beginning of the month. So, in effect, they play the whole month of September without seeing New York. You're just not going to get a ton of head-to-head play there with New York in the final month. So if you're going to have any impact on the division outcome and the Yankees are in it, you got to win every game you can. I mean, that head-to-head thing is no small thing now either. You know, it could be a potential tiebreaker somewhere along the line, what have you. In any case, we do have a couple open lines, 617-779-0985. Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports here, as he is every Tuesday. And so I think Murray said this earlier. He actually just got up for a second. But Sandoval is in the lineup tonight, Jimmy, right? Jimmy Stewart, our producer. He's batting eighth and playing third base?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so where are you on Pablo right now, Jared?
In terms of what?
Just in general.
Like, how do I feel about him?
Yeah, how do you feel about Pablo right now?
Horrible.
Came back? Okay.
Horrible.
Why?
Because I don't believe in him, and I have no reason to believe in him. And I'm a big picture guy when it comes to Pablo. You know, he hit that double in Baltimore. Did he have a home run in that series?
He did, yep.
Okay, so
in the game they lost 3-2, he had a home
barely,
run.
It barely got out.
So I look at Pablo, and I don't see a guy that's just going to go on a run and play consistently well. I just don't see that, and I haven't seen that. And that's not me, you know, looking at a guy that maybe I just don't like, because I don't. I hated his attitude in 2015 and 2016. People like that don't just change. They just learn the right things to say. So I'm not falling for his whole, you know, attitude change. There is no attitude change. I think he's a very selfish player. I think he's very complacent. And a guy like that, an attitude like that, you're not going to have sustained success. I think that he's had his success. I think he's gotten his money, and he's all set. So, you know, the pride factor does come into play at one point or another. And with him, I just think that it's past that point. I just think that he's okay with being a platoon player. I think he's fine with, you know, my checks are clearing regardless of if I'm playing every day, if I'm not, if I'm a platoon player, if I'm on the bench, if I'm on the disabled list, I don't care. And with him, my expectations for him are non-existent.
Would you cut him?
So I'm not opposed to trotting him out there every day in hopes that he can at least string together a good month so that you can move him. But you'd still have to eat roughly, what, 70% of that contract to get him out of here. But I guess I would rather attempt to establish some sort of value so that you would have to only eat 70% of his deal to move him versus just releasing him and having to eat the whole thing.
Yeah, you're not moving him. No one's going to take him. I think you got no shot there. I think it's reached the point where you either keep him and play him or you dump him. And when I say dump him, I mean you release him. And you bite the bullet on the contract and that's the end of it. And so I'm just not at the release point yet. I want to see. I mean, he helped him in a game in Chicago last week, got three hits. How do you think the manager feels about him?
Oh, I think he can't stand him. Yeah, I think it's the writing was on the wall when the only reason why he got called up was because Pedroia got hurt. If Pedroia didn't get hurt, they would have let him rot in Pawtucket for as long as they were, you know, allowed to by the league's rules, you know, which is what, 30 days? Is it 30 days?
20 for a positional player, I believe.
Okay, yeah, so 20 days. They would have lived out the entire 20 days regardless of how good he felt. I don't think they want him on the roster, and now he is here because they absolutely need to have him here because they're so thin in the infield and in the depth there. But the expectations for him are non-existent. I don't have expectations for Pablo Sandoval.
Okay, so I know you tweeted about this over the weekend because I was on Twitter when this happened. Mm. but there were a couple of plays involving Sandoval in the first inning of that game on Sunday. Here's the first one.
Runners go, throw down. Oh, my Lord. Why? Why? Why do you do that? Orioles are looking at it. He might have gotten in. I think he got in there, and the tag was put on the chest, and they're going to challenge it. And Buck had his video people taking a look at it, and I think the Orioles may get an enormous break on this one. Looks safe, and he is.
So there you go on that play, the tag play, which, again, should have been an out at third. It wasn't. It was a good slide by Rickard. Do you think Pablo made a mistake?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do acknowledge that it was a good slide. It was a great slide because he was safe when the throw beat him there by about 20 miles. But if you're Pablo, you got to swipe that tag. You can't just try and pin it or locate it because that's when the guy's just going to move his appendage in the other direction to reach in the other way. But I put that on Sandoval. And we were talking about this, about how, you know, a slide into second base might be more of a bang-bang play. And we've seen Pedroia do the whole swim move before, and we give Pedroia credit for the swim move. Why don't we attack the shortstop who's trying to place the tag? Well, because those plays are a lot closer. Usually the ones at second base are a lot closer. That was a play at third base where the ball beat him there by, you know, a good three Mississippis. And that, you know, the sweat, you have to make that tag. You absolutely have to.
I thought it was a crap play by Sandoval. Again, to me, he reached. And once you reach, now you're opening up all kinds of places for the guy to go with his hands. To me, put the glove in front of the bag. Put it right there. And then, you know, react to it. And I know I'm not saying it's an easy play. Rickard might make a great slide and might get in there. But what Pablo did made it easier for him. Then later in the inning, obviously, there was another play involving Sandoval. It was this one.
3-2, ground ball to third. Sandoval will sling it in, and he throws it away into right field. Runners are going to be safe at first and second. The inning should be over.
Now my question is, where was Marrero? He wasn't even near the bag when he threw the ball there.
Yep.
I mean, and to me, that should not be an error on Sandoval.
It looked like Marrero kind of tapped him on the head and almost apologized for not being there.
Yeah, it's almost like he took for granted that Sandoval was going to throw the ball to first base, and you always go for the easiest out. That was a mental mistake right there by Marrero at second base.
Okay, now on the Baltimore broadcast, they actually said that Marrero made a gesture to Sandoval suggesting that he should have thrown to first. Right, so they're in disagreement as to what that was, but Remy's a former second baseman, said that Marrero should have been covering the bag. Farrell, after the game, blamed Sandoval, said the runner's in motion, and that, therefore, Sandoval goes to first. The play's to first, that's the easier play. Did you put that one on Sandoval?
I did not, no. So you
did exactly the same thing I did. I didn't blame him for the second one either.
No, I didn't blame him for that one. I did see some people, you know, who did blame Sandoval for not throwing to first base. I actually didn't know that Farrell did that, which doesn't surprise me at all. I've also noticed that Farrell is not a guy who's going to hold back when he has to criticize Sandoval, but he does protect other guys.
Of course.
Yeah, there's guys that...
He hates Sandoval.
I know. When they make mistakes, Farrell will, you know, kind of dance around it. But when Sandoval makes a mistake, he will be very quick to point him out directly. But I didn't blame Sandoval on that one. I thought Marrero, even if the right play is to go to first base, you have to cover if you're Marrero. On the off chance that he does come to second base, and he did. So yeah, you have to be there.
I thought Marrero had his head up his butt on that play completely. Completely wedged between his pillows. But nonetheless, he's back at second tonight. So, something to keep an eye on is the chemistry between the two. I know this, too, by the way. If I were Devin Marrero, as a guy who's lucky to be in the big leagues, I would be careful about gesturing to Pablo Sandoval about where to throw the ball. I would let someone else do it. But again, the manager facilitates it. You know, the manager throws Pablo under the bus at every turn, so maybe the young player thinks that that's okay. Farrell's got no use for Sandoval, which I understand. But wow, for a guy who says he likes to protect his players, he doesn't pull any punches when it comes to throwing Sandoval under
the bus. Sure doesn't.
Baseball reporter.